There was a tradition when Jewish families gathered for the Seder meal, the meal that we call the Passover. The youngest member of the family would begin the evening by asking the question, why is this night different than all other nights? Jesus and his disciples had become a family. And so when they gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem, they gathered as family. I wonder who asked the question, why is this night different than all other nights? I really don't know who the youngest disciple was, but it probably wasn't one of the 12. Tradition tells us that they gathered at the home of the mother of John Mark. John Mark, who later went on the first mission journey with the Apostle Paul. John Mark, who gave us the very first gospel, the Gospel of Mark. He would have been a young teenager. Maybe he asked that question. Why is this night different than all other nights? It was a night that would prove to be different in many, many ways. It was a night that changed the course of human history. It was the night of Jesus' betrayal, his arrest. It was the night before his crucifixion. And when Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room, knowing everything that would happen to him, he shared with them from the bottom of his heart. He just poured out his innermost thoughts and hopes and prayers. And these words that Bruce read from the 17th chapter of John, that has become known as the priestly prayer, was a beautiful extended prayer that Jesus offered to his disciples immediately before he left the upper room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The men who gathered that night with Jesus were men of faith. They were men of incredible loyalty and commitment. They were men on a mission. But everything changed. They were men of faith. They were Jews. They were dedicated Jews. They wouldn't think about not observing the Passover. But what Jesus did that night, he redefined faith. He took the traditional elements of the Passover meal. He took the bread. He took the wine. And he redefined it. He said, this bread is my body that is broken for you. He took the cup, the same cup that they had used in observing the Passover, and he said, this cup is the new covenant. They were men of the covenant, but now there was a new covenant that was sealed in his very blood. They were men of loyalty and commitment, no doubt. One of the disciples had said, Lord, we'll go with you wherever you go. Of course, Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't go. Not now. A few hours later, Simon Peter would be willing to fight to the death for Jesus. They had commitment. They had loyalty. Well, 11 of the 12. We know what happened that night. But Jesus took loyalty and commitment to a different level. When he talked about love, he talked about sacrifice. It was that night that he told his disciples, the greatest love is when a man lays down his life for his friend. They had never heard such a call for sacrifice and commitment as they did that night. And they were men on a mission. They were on the mission for the kingdom of God. They believed, they didn't know how it would happen or when it would happen, but they believed that Jesus was bringing in the very kingdom of God. I mean, he had taught them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. They were waiting for the kingdom. They were waiting for God's glory. And did you listen to the words that Bruce shared with us in this beautiful prayer? Jesus prayed that the world might see His glory, even as He prayed that they would all be one, one in the bond of love. But He redefined glory that night. He redefined what it meant for the kingdom of God to come, because they were looking for some sort of kingdom of power. They were looking for victory. They were looking for someone to come in power, in might, and show them the way to go. But Jesus started the evening by washing His disciples' feet. And He showed them that true power is not with a sword, but with a towel, humility, and service. And He also prayed, and I think this is fascinating, when He was praying for the glory of God to be revealed, He said this, "The glory which Thou hast given Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one." Do you hear that? Just hours before His death, Jesus said, "I'm giving you, My followers, the glory." We have the glory. We have God's glory. So what is it? And how does the world see it? They see the glory of God through humble service, not through majestic acts, but through humble acts of kindness and service and sacrifice. They see it when we bring a bottle of nutritional supplement for a cancer patient, or a bottle of canned green beans for somebody who receives meals from Pastor's Pantry. They see it when we reach out to the least of these, when we go into the community and we share the love and the grace of God. They see it in our commitment. They see it in our sacrifice. Jesus prayed that all may see His glory. How will we see it? We see it when we learn to serve and to love and to give. Remember the story that I told you about a year ago about the missionary who had been overseas during the Second World War, and the mission board sent him money to buy passage to come back to the United States because he was long overdue for a furlough. But he found all of these displaced Jews, and they didn't have enough food to eat, and so he spent that money to buy them food, to buy them pastries. And when he wired the mission board and said, "I need a little bit more money," they said, "What'd you do with the money?" He told them about the Jews. And they said, "Why did you do that? They don't even believe in Jesus." And the missionary said, "But I do." Why are we bringing supplements? Why are we bringing canned goods? Why are we giving to the ministry of this church? Because we believe in Jesus. There are a whole lot of people out there who don't, but we do. And when we serve as Jesus served, when we love as Jesus loved, then the world will see His glory. And so we gather at the table, a table of glory, a table of humility, a table of service, and a table of sacrifice. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to come to the front to receive communion. Tommy and I will direct you, beginning with the balcony, to come to the front. And I want you to follow the leadership of the choir as they sing some of our favorite old hymns. When they begin to sing, you follow along and we will sing together. Join me in the invitation to the table. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. This is the Lord's table.
My Savior, all day long. This is my story. Secure from all odds, leading me. Hallelujah.